Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll talk about something for just a little bit here. I mention it from time to time, but it's just a subject we need reminded of more often than I mention it, I'll tell you. If you're raising children, if you hadn't learned it yet, you will learn this. You'll get on to them more for their mouth than you will anything else. And that's the way it is with grown-ups, too. Biggest part of the problems of your life are caused by a tongue that ain't bridled. Well, there's some reasons for that. Let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let's read verses 2 through 7. The Bible says, "Be not rash with thy mouth." Did y'all listen to that now? That's pretty good right there. That'd be all we'd need to read, and we could preach on that. That's the subject. "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart, be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be
few.
Let thy words be few." Now, the Bible says that. Remember that. My children can all quote this verse real well. "A fool is known by..." Yeah. "A fool uttereth..." Hey, they've heard it. They know. Now, if they go off and don't listen and do it anyway, it's on their head. I've faithfully warned them about this. And so I'm faithfully warning you tonight about it. "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words." There it is again. "When thou vowest a vow unto God," still talking about talking here, "defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools." Pretty strong words there. Vow to pay. You better pay it. He don't have any delight in fools. You're a fool if you vow and you don't pay it. "Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error." "Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it." That's exactly what he's talking about right there. You blurt out a bunch of poison and then say, I didn't mean that. Yeah, you did. "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Don't say that before God. God's listening. Everybody else knows. Don't say. Or, I'm sorry. Sorry don't fix it. Sorry don't fix nothing. So don't say that. That ain't the thing. That ain't the way you cure the and take care of the damage done by your tongue. "Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice?" When you do that, don't say it was an error. "Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands?" It'll destroy your life. That's what it has the potential to destroy your life. Words you speak. Destroy your children, destroy your marriage, destroy your relationship with everybody else, your parents, your siblings, your brethren you go to church with. It has the potential to do that. It's a serious deal, what you say. "For in a multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God." When I was a kid in school right over here on the hill, there used to be these ladies would come. I believe they come once a month. We called them the Bible ladies. And they would come to our class in elementary school. And they'd go to each class. And they'd have just like a Sunday school lesson. They had a flannel graph, you know, that they would put up and tell us a story. And use little flannel figures that would stick on the board and tell us a Bible story. And they would teach us songs like, "Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say." I remember learning that. Remember singing it. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. It just went on and on. It was one of them. Yeah, that was public school. Yeah, it's the way it used to be. Now, do you know what they teach them now? If they teach them anything. A lot of them can't even read and write when they get out of school. That's true. I don't care what anybody says. Public school teacher, just come on. Show me. And I'll show you. I've known a lot of kids who went to school and they couldn't find their way out of a wet paper sack. No education. We learned how to read and write. We learned math. We learned history. We learned about our country. And we learned that too. We learned Bible stories and little Bible songs. It was good for us. Why'd they take it away? Something that's good, why would they take it away? What harm do you think that did to any child? To be taught that you should be careful about what you say. Now they're teaching them to speak your mind. You got a right to say it. Nobody's got a right to tell you to shut up. You got a right to save your say. You got a right to blah, 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 blah. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Our mouth gets us into more trouble than anything else about us. And that's the truth. As soon as a child learns to talk, he has to be disciplined more for his words than for anything else. I wonder how many people here has got smacked in the mouth by your parents when you were a kid. Is anybody here that didn't? Nobody? Everybody just lets you say what you want to? Well, I wonder why that is. Dorothy, I know better than that. Now, but it's the truth. Now, these little ones here coming up, I've told them, I remember telling Elizabeth and Gary, you know, just wait till she start talking. Oh, you think she's something now? Just wait till she can tell you what she thinks. You can look at her now and you know what she's thinking, but wait till she can vocalize it. And she can articulate it with words. Well, she can, oh my. And then that's about all they get in trouble for then. From then on, words are involved, aren't they? Yes, they are. I mean, we just know how to get in trouble with our mouth. And you would think we would grow out of it as we got older and more experienced and we learned what kind of bad situations and troubles we can cause with our loose tongue. Looks like we'd learn, but you know what? Most people do not learn. In fact, they get worse about it. We talk about these little old children that just barely learning to talk and stuff and the things they say, but man, what about people that's lived 2 or 3 decades and they still can't talk without causing all kinds of hurt in other people and problems? And so we transgress with our lips more than we do with any other part of our body or soul. In James chapter 3, these are familiar verses, but I'm going to read them anyway. James chapter 3, verse 2 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." Well, ain't nobody perfect, so throw all that out the window. Just say what you want to. Go ahead and speak your mind. Is that the way it ought to be? No. If you can keep from offending with your mouth, he said you're a perfect man. And able also to bridle the whole body. You can get control of your tongue, you can get control of everything else. Think about that. If you can just control what you say. You know what I'm talking about? Not saying what you feel like saying. Sometimes saying what you don't feel like saying. You got control of your tongue, intelligent control, where you can stop it before it just sprays all over everybody. Your heart ain't an open septic tank that just vents out of your mouth. You got control of it. Well, now there's people like that. I mean, we laugh about it, but it ain't funny. Well, they'll tell you what they think. And you know, everybody's seems to be proud of that, but I've known more women who are proud of that than men, really. I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell them what I think. You tell them what you think. If I was you, I'd tell them what I think. Well, either you don't know much about the Word of God or you don't care much about what it says. Or you'd get control over it. If you don't bridle your tongue, well, let's read what it says here. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. See, Jesus, that goes perfectly with what Jesus said. He said it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, it's what comes out of his mouth. And here it says the tongue, it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Well, what does tame your tongue? God. Knowing God. Being submitted to God. When God has the reins of your heart, your tongue will be bridled. And if your tongue is bridled and you got control of that, you'll have control of everything else. You'll be a disciplined person. You won't just be wild and erratic. You won't be a hot-tempered. You won't be a stubborn, rebellious, hateful wretch. You won't. If you can just get control of your tongue. Well, if that's true, and that's what the Bible says, we done read it here twice, then that's where we ought to focus on working on, shouldn't we? Put a guard there. Put a guard there. But you know what you better do first? Put a guard from where that's coming from. You better go to the source. Instead of worrying about this right here, this is just the speaker. Right here is where it's coming from. It's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what defiles a person. Because Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. I thought about preaching tonight about that. I've been thinking on it for months about thinking evil, speaking evil of other people. But it's one thing, like I've been telling you, it just ain't came together yet. But where does that come from? Speaking evil of other people? Thinking evil of other people, where does it come from? Your heart. And then right out your mouth. We transgress with our lips in a lot of different ways. Now listen to me, and I'll try to hurry. We use it as a weapon to hurt others. Oh yeah. When you talk about husbands and wives of fighting, how do you fight? With your fist? Most of the time, no. How do you fight? Right here. That's right. This cut and slash and accuse and blame and put down and insult. That's what a fight between a husband and wife is like. They do it with their tongues, with their lips. There's a whole lot better way to use your mouth. You know? The same mouth that you kiss with, you use to slay with, to hurt with, to cut and to slash and to extract and cause pain. I mean, it's a fire. It's a world of iniquity set on fire of hell. We use it as a weapon. Boy, we did a lot too. Until you get right with God, and I don't think you'll do it then. I just don't think you'll do it when you're really right with God. I don't think you'll take your tongue and use it as a weapon to slay other people. No matter who they are. No matter what they've done to you. We use it to curse others. We simply use it too much and say more than we ought to. I'm talking about the way we transgress with our lips. He says, be not rash with thy mouth. We use it too much. Most people talk too much. Let thy words be what? Few. You know, you've heard other people say, God gave you two ears and one mouth. What does that tell you? You ought to listen at least twice as much as you talk. Don't you think that's a good policy? Yep. My mom always told me, how did she put it? Said, it's better to be thought a fool, be quiet and be thought a fool, than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Did you get it? There you go. A fool is known by his multitude of words. He's just like a it's just like a fountain overflowing. We use it too much. The wisest people I've known in my life didn't talk much. Yep. All right, we simply use it too much and we say more than we ought to. We say things that we should have just kept to ourselves. Have you ever done that and then realized it immediately? Why did I say that? Why did I say that? You stupid, 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 stupid. Why'd you do that? You ought to learn as you go along. Don't you think we ought to learn as we go along? When you do that and you make a fool of yourself and you look like a fool in your own eyes about it, looks like you'd get a hold of things. I ain't going to do that again. I'm going to be more careful again. I'm not. But people do it because they let their passions control them. Anger. Excitement. Or whatever. But those are the two main things right there. You just get all excited and say something you shouldn't say. Get mad. Oh, that's the thing. You get mad and say things you shouldn't say. Oh, boy. I've known people that were wise, and when they would get angry, they just stopped talking. Very, very smart move. Stop. Stop. When you know that you can't say anything, except, buddy, you're going to put it on them, better just stop. Better go off and think about it. It's the same way with this, writing with a pencil or on the keyboard or on your phone. I learned a long time ago, you know, writing letters and stuff I can't believe some of the things I did, arguing with people and other preachers and all of that. I wouldn't do that. That is not going to happen no more, I guarantee you. But I did learn to, you know, they'd say something terrible, ugly, and I was ready to fire back. And I could do it too. But I'd say, no, this. You know, I'd put it away and leave it for 2 or 3 weeks and then look at it again. And usually I'd say, oh, my, I'm so glad that I didn't send that. How stupid. Because your passion does that to you. When you get all worked up about something, you ain't thinking right. Better count yourself as like drunk or something because you ain't in your right mind. Anger does that to you. Passion does that to you. You'll say things that you wish later you had not said. And you cannot take words back. You can stop them before they go out and save untold damage and trouble. We say things that should not be said. We just say things. And that, boy, there's a lot of different directions we could go with that, but you know, there's just a lot of times when we ought to just be quiet. And the older you get, if you get wiser as you get older, which you should, but you'll learn that That is the safest route. That is the most wisest route to go. Is don't say nothing. I watch people make stupid mistakes all the time. I watch kids, children. I watch my family. I watch other people do things that are just... I think, my goodness, how in the world? And I can remember being young and other people watching me make stupid mistakes and shaking their head at me, and I'd think, you know, I'll show you. Yeah, I'll show you. I showed them. But I have learned this. And I told her once today about something. I said, you know, that you're never going to do any good that way. People ain't going to listen to you. They ain't going to take your advice. They ain't going to take your counsel. They ain't going to listen to you. Nobody does nothing wrong. And when you're young, you know everything. And nobody's going to listen to you. So if you want to do the best thing for them, don't say nothing. You're going to have to influence them some other way besides just straight on advice. They don't take it. People do not take advice. You won't take it from me, and nobody else will take it from anybody else either. We're living in a generation where that's a thing of the past. People don't listen to no kind of counsel, wisdom. Everybody's going to find their own way. Now, whether you believe it or not, just give her a try. There's just things that you'd be wiser does not say. Just watch the disaster as it unfolds. And be there when the wreck happens so that you can try to stop the bleeding. That's about the best you're going to do. We speak too quickly in commitment. He's talking about vows here to God, and that includes vows to other people. He didn't say just to him. You promise something. The deal is here, you give your word. It stands as far as God's concerned. When you say something, I will do it, I promise, I'll do this, then God counts that as a done deal. You can't just spit words out there lightly. You ever have people do that? They do it all the time. Seth, you deal with it. We deal with it. I'll be there tomorrow to pick up that lumber. They ain't coming. I want it. I want all of it. They never show up. I've learned you can't trust nobody now about nothing. They will not do what they say. It's an evil of the tongue. It's easy to just say, yeah, I'll be there. I'll do it. People do the same thing about church. Not so much now as they used to. I mean, because people don't even say they'll come anymore. But used to, we'd go out and visit people and they'll say, okay, yeah, I'll be there. Never show up. So, we speak too quickly in commitment. You better not say, I will, unless you know you're going to. And you really intend to do it. And you will do it. Don't say, I'll do it. That seems as though our mouth just has a mind and a will of its own sometimes, but it doesn't. A lot of people want to blame it. They want to blame it on their mouth. But that's not the source of the problem. And, I really believe this. There's lots of people, most people in fact, you could sew their mouth shut and they'd still manage to say what they want to say. If I had to write it on a piece of paper. Yeah. Yeah, there's other ways to communicate besides speaking it with your tongue. And it counts as the same thing because it's coming out of your heart. It's what you're communicating to other people. It's simply a member of our body that is under our control. You can control your tongue. If it's out of control, it's because your religion is vain or you ain't got any at all. And it's the same difference. If it's vain, it's worthless, and it's just worthless religion. And if you ain't got any religion, why? Same difference. Might as well not have any, as to have some kind that don't even affect your tongue and bring any control over your tongue. James chapter 1 and verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. If he seems to be religious, and he says all these religious things, but he ain't got no control over his mouth, and he's blurting out things all the time, and he can't keep it still, his religion's vain. He is a phony. He's deceived in his own heart. He thinks he's right with God, but the evidence is to the otherwise. James chapter 1 and verse 19, backed up a few verses there. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Swift to what?
Hear.
Slow to speak and slow to wrath. The main instruction of these verses in Ecclesiastes is that God expects us to keep our word. In Numbers 30 and verse 2, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. That's the foundation that our society, our country, used to have under it. If a man's word was his bond. If a man told you he would do something, if he would pay you something, if he would buy something, if he would sell you something, if he would be somewhere, if he would do something for you, he'd do it. Because if you fear God. Because they understood, preachers preached, they had some understanding and knowledge about it, that a man's word, that's the way God views it. You know, with God there ain't written contracts and all of that. It's what you say binds you before God. If you say, I'll do it, then God will hold you accountable. You'll be judged by God for what you say and don't do. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 5, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. In other words, don't let your mouth get ahead of your brain. Amen. You're better off not to promise something you can't do, won't do. And when you say, I forgot, that don't cut it. You're not off the hook. You're not excused. Even if you did forget it. The thing is, we don't take seriously enough the verbal commitments we make. It ought to be a serious thing with all of us. If we tell somebody something, we better do it. Down to the littlest things in life. Because if you're not faithful in the little things, you ain't going to be faithful in the big things either. If people are careless with the little things of life, they ain't going to be responsible in the big things of life either when it comes to when they keeping their word, doing what they say. Being faithful, that's what that is. If God was like us, where would we be? If he just said things and didn't do it, if he said one thing and didn't do it, where would we be? What would we have to stand on? But he is faithful that promised. We know and we're staking our eternal hope on God's promise, what he said he will do. And how could we possibly, under any circumstance, think that it'd be any different for us? That we're free to just say things just every which way and not do half of what we say we'll do. No, we need to do what we say. Y'all get that? That's the deal here. Be not rash with thy mouth. Think before you speak. Whether it's to promise, make any kind of commitment, whether it's to say bad things about people or good things. We'll get to that in a second here. A man's word ought to be his bond in all his dealings with God and with others. And when you let words of commitment come out of your mouth, you're committed in God's sight. God doesn't dismiss our promises as lightly as we do. He doesn't dismiss them at all. And God does not recognize degrees of commitment like we do. You know, mincing words and parsing words out. Well, now, I didn't say that I absolutely would. I didn't promise now. That kind of junk. I didn't say that. We got to carry a recorder around with us now. We got to get a written record of what everybody says, because they're going to say, I didn't say that, when they did say it. People are so empty-minded and so loose in their thinking and everything now that that's the way people are. And they honestly believe they didn't say it. But it's no excuse before God. We think that we got to say, I swear I'll do it, I swear, or something like that. And the Bible says we're not even to do that. Why are we not supposed to swear? I've preached on it before. The reason we're not supposed to swear is because our word is supposed to be so sure that there's no need to bring God in as a witness before us to make the people believe that we're going to do what we say. You get it? If we're faithful in this matter, ain't going to be no reason to swear before God to make you believe that I'm really going to do what I say. What does that say about everybody? That says that I never mean what I say, but if I really mean it, I'm going to say I swear. If I say I swear, well, then you know I really mean it. But if I don't say I swear, that's how everybody is. They don't take their word seriously at all. Be not rash with thy mouth. Those Bible ladies had it right. Be careful, little lips, what you say. God didn't recognize this, I forgot, as an excuse for keeping your word. Or I don't remember saying that. I don't cut it either. Just as hurtful words once spoken are not retrievable, you can't call them back, you can't delete them, you can't backspace, they're there. They're out there. Ain't no whiteout to get rid of them. When they come out of your mouth and into somebody else's ears, that is it forever. You need to understand how permanent that is. Think about what you say to your children. Think about how you say it to your children. Do you realize that's permanent?
Yes, sir.
Everybody here remembers. You got memories of being yelled at, being and things said to you, really hurtful things said to you, don't you? You ain't forgot them, have you? You still wonder how they could have said that. Why did they do that? Why did they say that? What did they really feel toward me if they said that to me? Looks like just being intelligent enough and mature enough and having a mind healthy enough to think that out, looks like we'd say, boy, listen, I'm going to be careful what I say. To my husband, to my wife, to my children, to my friends. Yep, once words are out of your mouth, there's no taking them back. Whether it's a promise, whether it's a curse, or whether it's a blessing. They tried to get old Balaam to bless the enemies of the people of God. Did you ever bless somebody and realize it was a big mistake? You can do that too. You can be just as wrong there as you can cursing somebody. Y'all listen to this? Be not rash with your mouth to bless people either. I'm talking about to just put your blessing and approval and speak you know, great swelling words about somebody. I've been disappointed a bunch of times. I've thought highly of people that turned out to be, oh my. And you know what I feel like? A fool. Same as I do when I say something, when I've said something bad about somebody and found out I was wrong. When I've said something stupid that I didn't know what I was talking about and felt like a fool. I feel like a fool also when I've blessed somebody and praised them and then find out what they really were. Just be not rash with your mouth. Just be careful with it. In all directions. Don't focus on just one direction. Man, just control it. Get control of it. And be slow, be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to anger. Boy, anger just loosens up your tongue to... It sets it on fire of hell. This is something that's, you know, you can't get words back. That's something that's always been clearly understood, but it's now become obscured in our day because everybody just thinks that's part of being free or something is to speak your mind, that there's something noble about speaking your mind, and it's not noble, it's carnal, it's evil most of the time. Speaking your mind, no, the noble, the higher road is to keep your mouth shut when you could say something. The older you get, the better you're going to understand how true that is. There's something that has always been clearly understood that you can't do that. Now, since what we say is permanent and binding, we should be very careful with our words. You know, let me remind you of that little saying about children are a blank piece of paper that we write on with a permanent marker. That's what they are. You get them a blank and you write on them with your words. Remember that? James chapter 1 verse 19. We read this a while ago. Let me read it again. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So where are you most likely going to get in trouble? Talking too much. Saying too much. Where are you most likely going to sin? Talking too much. Saying too much. Make your words count. What was that the other night? Where did you say it? It was a breakfast yesterday morning. Seth said something about a guy being a wordsmith. Be careful how you use your words. Do it slowly, intelligently, thoughtfully, prudently, carefully, with all the words you say. Just be careful what you say. Because God's listening and He's keeping account. And we're going to give an account for every idle word that we speak. I got the verse here in a minute I'm going to read. But every idle word we speak, God's going to call us to account. How many idle words have we spoken? I've read before, and you have too, about somebody's figured out how many words we speak a day on average. You know, and how that women speak a lot more words than men do. And women says that's because men don't listen. We have to say it twice, everything we say. And, you know, we say thousands of words. It's like we take thousands of steps. It's unbelievable how many steps. Like yesterday, I told her I believe I walked 20 miles back and forth through the church yesterday. Ain't no telling. You got these phone deals that tell you how many steps, and it's amazing. You know, it ain't nothing to walk 6,000-7,000 steps a day. Shoes are pretty good if they don't wear out any faster than they do when you're walking like that. Ain't no wonder your feet hurt. I wish if our tongue would hurt like our feet hurt when we use them too much, we might slow this thing down a little bit. But it don't, does it? It don't get hurt. Don't get arthritis in it. Don't hurt. It just works real good all the time. No matter what else goes wrong, it still works. Let me see here. Stop. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. Listen to this. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. This is good advice we're looking at tonight from the Word of God. You keep your soul from troubles. When you get old, the biggest part of your bad memories, your bitterness, your problems are going to be over your own tongue and over other people's tongue, what they said to you. That's what you're going to remember. Proverbs 29, verse 11. I said this a while ago, but this is the verse I drilled into my kids, tried to. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. How many times do you think I told that to the kids? And I wonder, you know, I know several of you are here, but now some of them, they didn't get it. Some of them just didn't get it. Never took. Why? They know it. I mean, through and through, they know that verse is in the Bible and many others. Why do people know this? I mean, if you're sitting here tonight listening to this, how can you deny that this is true? You can't. You can sit there and say, boy, that's right. Well, what are you going to do about it? Now, how can you sit here and listen to this and agree with the Word of God and then just get up and walk out and just keep on doing what you're doing? First time somebody comes up and pokes you a little bit. And you got no control. If you don't, your religion's vain. You know, we just need to understand that and we need to believe that it's the truth. Ecclesiastes. Well, I think I quoted this, but let me read this. Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 3, we read this also a while ago in our text when we started out, but it says, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Words are easy to spit out, but sometimes they're hard to keep. Promises. You can promise something rashly and feel and find yourself unable to perform that which you promised. That's not good. When you promise more than you're able to do. That's the problem I've always had with faith promise in church. You know, a lot of the churches do that. And I just, you know, I read this and say, you know, man, listen, what in the world? Why would you encourage people to promise to do something that they know they can't do? That's the whole premise behind it all, is to just promise what you know you can't do. And that way God will have to do it. And then we can see God work. Well, I don't agree with that. Criticize if you want. Cast me out if you want. I just don't believe that's a burden we ought to put on people. I believe you ought to believe God. God blesses you and prospers you. You ought to give, like the Bible says, tithes and offerings. And offerings. And offerings. We ought to, the tithe is the Lord's. We ought to give the tithe and we ought to give offerings. But to make people promise to give more than they're able to, and then expect God to bring it out of nowhere. I think that's contrary to what we're preaching and teaching about here tonight. That's being rash with your mouth. That's committing yourself with words that God's going to hold you accountable for. And I've been around churches for years and years. You know how much of the faith promise normally comes in? Half or less. So a lot of people vowed a vow and didn't pay it. You forced them. You encouraged them. You led them to make a promise to utter words that they couldn't do. And they didn't do them. God says it's better not to vow than to vow and not pay it. Now that's Bible. That's what I believe about it. All right. On to the next thing. You can promise something rashly and find yourself unable to perform what you promised. And you may excuse yourself because of your inability. Well, I just couldn't do it. So that settles that. I tried. I promised and said I would, but I couldn't. So, you know, God understands. You think so? You need to understand that God doesn't accept that kind of excuse. When you say it with your mouth, God, I mean, it's written in stone as far as God's concerned. You promised. You said. You uttered it out of your mouth. Words mean something. They're not just worthless, cheap, loose things that you can just scatter around. God's going to hold us accountable for every word we speak. God's instruction is that we not promise what we cannot perform. You can promise something rashly and find that keeping your promise to some other person will put you at odds with God. You can get in a pickle like that, promising somebody something that's going to put you, in order to fulfill the promise, you're going to have to do something against God. Now, you don't want to do that. Now you're in an impossible situation where you can't do right either way. Judges chapter 11, verse 30 and 31. I'll give you some examples. And Jephthah, y'all ever hear about him?
Yes.
Some of you know the story, don't you?
Yes.
Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, that it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon will surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." What came out of the door of his house when he came back? His only daughter. Now what's he going to do? He's vowed a vow to the Lord. What's he going to do? Offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice? He did. Because the vow was that serious with somebody like that. Son of a harlot. But a mighty man. And he delivered them in that battle. But his mouth got ahead of his brain. Why in the world would you say something like that? That's another reason I don't believe that faith promise is the right way to go if you're going to raise money for missions. I don't believe that's necessary. I just believe God's people ought to have a heart for the lost of this world and the furtherance of the gospel, and they ought to freely give. You shouldn't have to trick them and bind them and put them into contracts that they can't fulfill and squeeze it out of them like that. Here's another one. Mark chapter 6 and verse 23, "And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom." Y'all know who said that? Herod, to that little filly that was dancing in front of him, whose mother had sent her there for the purpose of getting John the Baptist's head. Her mother had drilled her before and said, when he said, her mother knew what Herod would do with all of his buddies around and sent that girl in there to dance before him. I mean, she knew that he'd give anything. And he did. "Just tell me what you want. Half of the kingdom. I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. In a charger. All right? You see? What a dumb thing to say. A king, a leader, a ruler. Just opened the door and entrapped himself with his words. Now what's he going to do? Bible says he was very troubled about it because he heard John the Baptist often. He had high regard for John the Baptist. Even though John the Baptist did him just like the other prophet Micaiah did Ahab back in the Old Testament. Every time he came around, he said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You adulterer, living in adultery, God's going to judge you." John the Baptist told him over and over. If you study the words, that's what it said. Well, what happened? They cut John the Baptist's head off. Sent it to that evil woman in a charger. Because of his foolish, rash mouth. When he was full of passion, you see. 1 Samuel 14:24. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. What did Saul say? He said, "Anybody takes a bite of food is going to die." Who come in and took a bite of the honey without knowing what was said or anything? Jonathan, his son. And Saul said, "Jonathan, thou shalt surely die." And the people said, "No, he won't." And the people delivered him out of Saul's hand, or he'd have killed his own son. Because his mouth, he had a rash mouth. "Be not rash with thy mouth." Judges chapter 21 and verse 1. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife." Well, that didn't turn out good either. They ended up doing it. The summation of all of this is that we should fear God. That was the last part of the verse that we read there. "But fear thou God. Be not rash with thy mouth, but fear thou God." We should be aware that God is listening and will hold us to account for what we say and what we promise. You got that? Did y'all hear me?
Yes.
Fear God? That means you're aware that God's listening to what you say. It's not just the person, the people that you're talking to. God is listening. God's listening when you say those ugly things, when you yell and scream. God's listening. This is true whether men do or not. You know, He's going to hold us to account for what we promise, whether men hold us to account or not. Others may say, "Ah, forget it, I don't care." God remembers. You promised and didn't do it. What are you if you promise and you don't do it? You're a liar. You know, being a liar is serious business with God. "All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire." I'd take it real serious. God expects us to keep our word, to mean what we say, to say what we mean, and to keep our promises. And so it's true for even the little things. There are no little things when it comes to our word as far as God's concerned. Ain't no little things. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Let me read this verse and we'll quit. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Who said that? Jesus said that. He said, "I tell you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." That ought to strike fear in your soul right now. It ought to strike fear in your soul. It ain't just cuss words. It's every word. We say so much that we're bound to say something wrong. We're bound to say something that's not pleasing to God, that's wrong, that we should not have said. This is a serious matter, I'll tell you. If we could just get control of our tongue, if we could just get that thing under control and discipline, and under the control of the Spirit of God. Do you ever think about Jesus lived on this earth and He never spoke one word out of order, out of line? He never said one promise He didn't keep. He did exactly what He said every time He said anything. Have you ever thought about that? Why did He do that? And how could He do that? Well, He was God. No, he was the Son of Man. He had a body just like our body. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The way and the reason, the power, the way Jesus overcame was because the Holy Spirit was in Him and he relied on the Word of God as a man. Even though He was the Word of God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, He was the Word of God. But He depended, He turned to, He used the Word of God to overcome temptation. It's plain. He did with the devil when the devil tempted him. That's what he did. He did it in every case. He overcame the world with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. What have you got at your disposal? Same thing. So you can control your tongue. You can, if you will. You can if you fear God. You can if you believe God. And you want to. You can control your tongue. You can use it to be a blessing and not a curse. You can do good with it instead of damage. You can sow with it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says that. Man, that's strong, ain't it? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can actually... Let me say this and I'll quit. But you can actually murder a soul with your tongue. I've seen it happen. You can destroy a life with your tongue. With just a few words. Just a word. With very little. It's that powerful. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That little thing that you got in your mouth that you can use to communicate what you know, what's in your heart, your emotions, your passion, you can do. Be careful with it. It's more dangerous than a gun strapped on your side. It is. Very much more. More dangerous than poison. Said it's full of deadly poison. We just read it a while ago. It's a fire. Be careful with it. Keep it under control. Put a bridle on it. And let God control you. Hold your tongue. You'll be glad you did. You'll never be proud of the angry, hurtful words you say to somebody. You'll never be proud of it. You'll always regret it. Unless you're just an absolute reprobate, you'll regret it. Amen. Well, stand with me. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, help us with this. This starts when we're real little. As we're just learning to use this thing. We learn right out of the gate how to use it for evil and how to hurt people with it. And Lord, how to lie with it. Please help us. Lord, it's a thing that we don't pay enough attention to. We don't preach about it enough. And there's not enough said about it. And we're not reminded often enough about it. But Lord, help us in our words to be kind one to another. And as the Bible teaches us to do. And Lord, give us wisdom in it too. Help us to realize the far-reaching, long-lasting effects of words that we speak. It's another one of those things you've given us, like we talked about our memory last week, and it's another trait you gave us, the ability to talk and communicate from one mind to another, from one heart to another, our thoughts and our feelings and our hopes and everything that we are. And so, Lord, help us not to abuse this great gift and use it for sin and to hurt other people. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You going to be careful with your tongue? Let's do. Make it a point tomorrow to be careful with your tongue. Tonight when you get home. I've been in church a long time. You can tell when people come in church what's been going on before they got to church. And they ain't bloody noses and black eyes and cuts and bruises. No, that ain't what's been going on. The cutting with the tongue, that's what's been going on. Amen. All right, I'll quit. I've said a lot here tonight. Same thing over and over. You know. Now you know. We all know. Let's go do something about it. Amen. All right. Dismissed.